Hello, and welcome to our podcast discussing recent trends in literature and book recommendations. We are your hosts, Tamina and Anna Marie, two students of English literature who are constantly on the hunt for amazing books to recommend to our audience. Today we are talking about the future. More specifically, we are going to talk about the dystopian genre, what it is and why it is so popular. Afterwards, each of us is going to recommend one of our favorite dystopian novels, one that is nearly 100 years old and one that was just published recently.
Imagine a world where people have to hide books under their pillows because they are illegal. Imagine a society that is artificially constructed and grouped into a hierarchical system. Imagine a government that allows the rape of the last remaining fertile woman just to birth children for the upper class. If these scenarios seem too absurd for you to come alive in your own imagination, dystopian fiction could help you to travel to different worlds that display such horrors. The dystopian genre offers a vision of the future, but not the good kind as you have probably noticed by now. Different to, let's say, fantasy, dystopian fiction deliberately demonstrates a realistic future where society usually battles issues like environmental ruin, technological control, or governmental oppression. Book burning, artificially constructed humans, or a totalitarian state are central topics in major dystopian novels. The genre developed as a direct contrast to utopian fiction, which describes story revolving around a flawless world and a perfect society. The purpose of dystopian literature is to challenge its readers to think critically about their current social and political climate, and can maybe even inspire them to take action.
In the last couple of years, dystopian fiction has become increasingly more popular, especially within the young adult category. The generation, our generation, and those who are younger than us that these young adult novels are mainly marketed at is a generation that grew up with technology and science progressing rapidly. Since we are so accustomed to this kind of progress, much more so than our parents, for example, we might also be more interested in exploring and questioning potential consequences that this progress might be accompanied by. Dystopian literature provides a fictional ground to explore different futures that might stem from these consequences. But not only does dystopian literature help to envision these things, it also gives us the room to reflect upon our lives and our roles within this rapidly changing world and its future. It helps us to realize what we don't want our future to be. It can function as a warning sign by showing us what might happen if we simply follow the path we're on today. While scientific extrapolations and future models are definitely more accurate than dystopian fiction, I think reading about possible future struggles when they relate to a character, albeit a fictional one, that you can feel and root for can be a lot more engaging and potentially more eye-opening and powerful than simply looking at hypothetical numbers. Talking about the future in a scientific way is sometimes just too abstract to really envision it, and this is where dystopian fiction can help.
So let's start with our first recommendation. When talking about dystopian fiction, you can hardly justify not talking about the story of 1984 by George Orwell. So that's what I'm going to do today, kind of at least. Our first recommendation deals with a novel whose main character lives in a totalitarian society sometime in the future, and who slowly but surely starts to question and rebel against an omnipotent regime ruled by an all-seeing dictator. He is aided in his rebellion by a woman who not only stands for political but also sexual freedom. Though many of you are already familiar with this story and therefore its ending, I'm not going to spoil it for those of you who aren't. This very briefly sums up the plot of Orwell's 1984 that he published in 1949, but it also summed up the plot of a novel that was written nearly 30 years prior. A novel called We, written by the Russian author Yevgeny Zamyatin, whose work was written as a criticism towards Soviet society during his time. If you're new to the story or new to reading classics in general, I would recommend starting with Orwell's version of the story, as his world alludes more to our own and his writing style is more accessible to the masses. However, if you have time for two books, and let's face it, right now you probably have, I would highly suggest reading both. It was extremely interesting for me to read the novel that is basically the foundation of one of the most famous dystopian novels out there, and of one of my personal favorite books.
Our second recommendation is Susan Collins' newest novel, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, which is brand new on the market. It is a prequel to a world-famous Hunger Games series and tells the story of young President Snow, with whom you're probably familiar with if you have read the series. For those of you who are not familiar with the storyline, The Hunger Games deals with a totalitarian nation called Panem in a dystopian future. Panem is divided into 12 districts and a capital. Each year, one male and female representative from each district are selected by lottery to participate in the Hunger Games. Part entertainment, part brutal retribution for a past rebellion, the televised games are broadcasted throughout Panem. The 24 participants are forced to kill their competitors, while the citizens of Panem are required to watch. In the original Hunger Games series, the reader follows Katniss Everdeen, a 16-year-old girl from District 12, who voluntarily participates in the 74th Hunger Games in order to replace her younger sister who was originally selected to fight. Susan Collins' newest addition to our story deals with the adventures of a teenage Coriolanus Snow during the 10th Hunger Games, who would later become the dictatorial president of Panem. This time, however, the protagonist is not a tribute in the arena. Snow is tasked to mentor a District 12 tribute called Lucy Gray, with whom he's desperately trying to win, since a winning tribute would secure him wealth and prestige. What makes this dystopian novel different from others is the fact that the protagonist is not starting to question the existing system and trying to stop it, but rather contributing to its horrors and totalitarian ideologies.
As you hopefully realized in this week's episode, dystopian fiction does not simply fulfill the purpose of entertaining the reader, but can actually contribute to critical mindset and the urge to be aware of and improve our social and political climate. If you have not come across any dystopian fiction so far, feel free to dive in with one of our book recommendations. And if dystopia is not your cup of tea, check out previous episodes for more book genres and recommendations, or simply keep an eye out for the next episode. Until then, happy reading!